No, I didn't used to like this story. I used to feel sorry for the pigs, but never mind. I can listen to it now and learn its incredible truth. So it's Mark chapter 5 and reading verses 1 to 20. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial graves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial graves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he cried, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirits begged. "Let them enter. Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who'd been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what had happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who'd been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. It's a bit of a scary story, isn't it? I haven't read it out loud for a long while, but as I was reading it, I thought perhaps it ought to have a "Do not listen to this if you're afraid of violence," as they often put on the television. You know, don't be warned that there may be violent things in this thing. You couldn't get much more violent than that. But I don't want you to focus on all the violence. I want you to focus on that last little bit. The man begged to go with Jesus. And what did Jesus say? "No, go home to your family and tell them everything that the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." And that's just what the man did. Now, I'd like to tell you about the power of the story. In the first week of this new year, I think we've seen that incredibly illustrated in the story of Mr. Bates versus the post office. That scandal had been going on for 20 years, ruining lives and livelihoods of so many innocent people. We'd heard about it vaguely, hadn't we? But not the scandalous truths of what actually happened. Until that programme, that story was brought into our living rooms in a compelling and dramatic way. "It's not fair," the country shouted, probably just at the television. But anyway, they heard, didn't they? They heard that cry of "it's not fair." And you can't really believe how quickly things happened after that. So quickly you could hardly catch up with it. I think there still new something further revelations yesterday when I watched the news. All the lies of 20 years were exposed. All the injustice laid bare. And of course, far too late, things began to change. The power of a true story. The co-founder of Apple, Steve Jobs, said this a while ago, "The most powerful person in the world is the storyteller, because the storyteller sets the vision and agenda of an entire generation to come." What a responsibility. But Jesus knew that to be true. He is the ultimate example of a storyteller because he always taught complex truths in simple, memorable stories, parables we call them, that the first hearers could relate to and understand. To wait for arthritic fingers to turn over a page here. But they will. And he told those stories so that we, nearly 2,000 years ago, can still relate to them and understand them. You see, parables are simple stories that get under your skin, pierce your defences, and challenge us at a deeper level. In Matthew's Gospel, after Jesus said this, he said, this is what it says in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these. He just told the story about the yeast in the bread, like these when speaking to the crowd. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such stories. So you see, Jesus knew the power of story. But what about us, as Christians living in a world where the people we live with, in our homes, in our workplace, in our communities, don't seem to be that interested in the Jesus we know and love? Maybe we need to keep our faith simpler, tell a better and more compelling story. And just maybe the best way to do that is to tell our story. You see, as I see it, there are three stories. There's the story of ordinary people like you and me. How did Jesus describe us? He said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." You see, man without God is lost. There's guilt, fear, anger, disappointment. The good we should do, we can't do, and the wrong we don't do, we don't want to do, we keep doing. We're restless, always looking for satisfaction, for something new that will feed that something within us that never seems to be satisfied. I think that describes people without God, people in our families, in our communities, in our world. But God's story is of rescue. "You have rescued me," we just sang, didn't we? We've just sung it. He forgives. He gives us hope, security, assurance. Above all, he gives us unconditional love. The people's story desperately needs God's story. And the missing piece of the jigsaw is our story. We know what it's like to be lost, guilty, fearful, disappointed, but God has rescued us through his death on the cross. He's given us peace and joy and hope and purpose. Do you remember that account in Acts chapter 4 where Peter and John had just healed the lame man at the gate beautiful of the temple, and everybody knew about it and was talking about it, and the religious leaders were very, very annoyed about it all, but they couldn't do anything because there was the lame man walking, jumping and leaping. We used to sing a song about that, didn't we, Doug? Jumping and leaping and praising God. And they dragged Peter and John before the council. Let me just remind you what they said. They said, Peter had told them that, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to the rulers and elders of the people, are we being questioned because we've done a good deed? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clear statement to you all, the people of Israel, that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. And it says a bit later, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized that they were men who'd been with Jesus. Back to Ingrid, isn't it? Men who'd been with Jesus, had lived close to Jesus. They saw that that was their secret. And so they got together and they said, what are we going to do? What on earth can we do about it? Because it's very plain that everybody knows about it. We know what we're going to do. And this is what they decided to do. To keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, they would warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. So they called them back, asked them never to speak. And this is what Peter and John replied. Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling others about everything that we've seen and heard. I love that reply. Because, you know, can you stop telling others about what God has done for you? We show our passion in our words, don't we? In the things that we talk about, the things we share with other people, our families, our children, the problems we have, the difficulties we have. We talk about our hobbies, football. Oh, we're very good at talking about football. Why is telling the story of our faith, why do we find it so difficult? Can I make a confession to you? I think I've made it to people here before. I became a local preacher when I was in my early 20s. And quite a few years have passed since then. Yet, with the wisdom of hindsight, or some would say age, I realised that my decision to preach was actually probably that of a coward. It's so much easier to bear my witness by preaching than to speak about what Christ means to me, has done for me in daily conversations with my neighbours and my friends. We've all got a story. Perhaps you don't think you have. Perhaps you don't feel if you've got a story, this is a very interesting one that anybody wants to hear. But it's your story. Maybe you grew up in a Christian household, in a Christian family, and don't have an amazing story of before and after. I know that's how it was for me, and I'm always envious of Sandy, who had a before and after story. Not envious, but she knows what I mean. It's so much more dramatic when you have that moment. But it was different for many of us, all of us, but it's different. the story of what difference God Christ makes in my life day by day. Because one of the questions that non-Christians are asking, well, what difference will God make in my life? We can't answer that. But by sharing the difference he's made is ours, we can tell them what knowing and loving God and being known and loved by him. Unless we tell them, that may be just what they need to know. Eugene Peterson was pastor of Christ the King Church in Bel Air in Maryland for 29 years, but he retired in 1991 to take up a post as a university professor and give more time to his writing. The Message, of course, whenever I pick up my tome of The Message, I can't believe that anybody did that, but he did. He made the gospel, bringing the stories of the Bible alive in a new and relevant way to modern readers. It's refreshing. But he wrote this: stories invite us into a world larger than ourselves. We're storytelling people, and our lives are stories. Plot, intent, and other people. The Bible is our greatest story. If we just live within ourselves, or if our lives are determined by our own needs, our wants, our desires, it's a very small world. Stories connect us with what we see and what we don't yet see. As I read, or paraphrased the story of Peter and John before the Sanhedrin, did you notice what Peter said? Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with their Holy Spirit, and their opponents took note of them that they had been with Jesus. You know, that's our secret. That can be our secret too. As we tell others our story, the story of what Jesus has done in our lives. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to speak about Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit that prepares the hearts of the people that we tell our story to. And above all, it's the Holy Spirit that makes the presence of Jesus real to us so that we can be with him, live with him day by day, and rejoice in his loving presence in our lives. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us, at every stage of our life, even when we're old, a story to share. But to have a story to share, we have to remember Ingrid's secret. We have to stay close to Jesus. Just one last thought about telling our story. I don't know if you remember a lovely little story, and it is quite a little story, in Mark chapter 7. Glasses on again. Didn't used to have to wear these in the old days. In chapter, it's where Jesus, a story where a man, a deaf man with a speech impediment, was brought to Jesus, and his friends begged Jesus to heal him. It's a story, to our ears it sounds a little bit unsavory, because it tells us that Jesus led him away from the crowd so they could be alone. He put his fingers into the man's ears, then spitting on his own fingers, he touched the man's tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." Instantly, the man could hear perfectly, and his tongue was freed so he could speak freely. Epaphra. Be open. Pope Benedict wrote this, reflecting on this story. This little word sums up Christ's entire mission. Jesus became man so that man, made inwardly deaf and dumb by sin, would be able to hear the voice of God, the voice of love speaking to his heart, and learn to speak in the language of love, to communicate with God and with others. Maybe you and I need to have our ears opened. The wax of the world's voices cleared away so that we can hear more clearly the voice of love, God's love. And perhaps we need it too to have our lips open, our tongues loosened. Did you notice in that first hymn, which is why I particularly want our loosened tongues employ? That's what we need. We do get a bit tongue-tied when we're going to have to talk about our faith, don't we? Sometimes we, oh dear, what shall I say? Will I say it right? But God can loosen our tongues. He can open our ears to hear his love again. He can loosen our tongues to share that love with the people we meet. And then through the Holy Spirit, we will hear that voice. Those people that we speak to will hear that voice through the simplicity, and sometimes it does seem simple, but it's what they need to hear. I found this poem by a very old poem, really it is, or it's a hymn. Listen to it, because it's quite relevant. Have you no words? Then think again. Words fly apace when you complain and fill your fellow creature's ear with the sad tale of all your care. Were half the breath so vainly spent to heaven in supplication sent, your cheerful song would ever be, hear what the Lord has done for me. I like that. It's true, we can talk a lot about the things that are wrong, can't we? Oh, we can do that so easily, but not so good at the other. Shall we pray? Lord, show us the story you're telling in our lives that you want us to share. Open our eyes to hear your voice of love, assuring us, encouraging us, blessing us, and challenging us. Loosen our tongues to share our story with those you love who need to hear your voice of love. Help us to tell a better, braver, more compelling story by living the kind of life that makes no sense unless God exists and is the most important reality in our lives. We ask this in his name. Amen.